Good morning. This is Judy Mario, and this is Choices. Thank you for joining me today. We are going to be talking to a world adventurer, someone who has delayed gratification and done what he wanted, followed his dreams, and actually achieved his goals. So help me welcome this morning, listeners. Our guest is Kevin Parsons. Kevin, hi. Are you there?
Hello, Judy. Yeah, I'm here.
Hi. Great to have you here. Thank you. I told our listeners that you are a great adventurer, but why don't you tell them about your recent adventure, because that was so exciting.
Well, after many decades of wanting to get something going, my wife and I embarked on a 50 states in 50 weeks adventure. And we rode a motorcycle with a pop-top tent there, and we toured the entire United States, visiting every state. And we traveled
and you did every state.
Miles.
Wow,
yeah.
43,000 miles. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Where did you get the idea?
Everyone asks is, what about Hawaii? And we flew there and rented a motorcycle.
Yeah, so you did include that other state out there, but you had to get there by airplane, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, where did you get the idea for this kind of a trip?
Well, when I was 17, a friend of mine and I went and watched a terrible movie in 1969, I guess it was, Easy Rider. It was a horrible movie about two drug dealers.
I saw that movie.
Yeah, they made a big deal, and then they traveled around the country, and they got killed by rednecks. But when I left the theater, I was captured by riding around the country on a motorcycle, and I'd already owned motorcycles and ridden and raced motorcycles, and the idea just, it's one of those things that just sticks in your head, like, man, someday I would love to do that. And what captured me was they had some really beautiful motorcycles, but the cinematography back then, I'm dating myself, but colored movies were just getting in, and they would go up on a mesa and look at the beautiful sunset. They're riding through the south. It was absolutely magnificent. I thought, man, someday I got to do that. And a friend of mine and I saw the movie. And so we planned all through high school, one whole year, how we were going to do that when we graduated from high school. Well, it was a dream, really. We had girlfriends, and, you know, then we had wives, and then we had kids, and then we had jobs, and then we had responsibilities, and it never happened. Was always there in the back of my mind. I'd love to do that someday. And then built a big business, and it was even more difficult, you know, to get away and to break away to do that.
Now, I heard you talk about the beautiful scenery that you saw, and you're a photographer as well, aren't you?
Well, I'm not a professional photographer, but we took thousands and thousands of pictures. Yeah, we got a lot of pictures. And then I blog every day on my blog, 50statesin50weeks.com. And so even now you can go back in the archives on that blog and you can follow the entire trip. And there's around 10 pictures every day of what we saw in each state.
Yeah, and some of those pictures are pretty awesome. Don't tell me you're not a professional photographer. That work is fabulous.
Yeah, well, we had a lot to choose from.
Yeah, well, it was beautiful. Well, it is a beautiful country, and so you saw it and you shared it with us, and that was really wonderful. Now, how does this delayed gratification, how does that apply?
Well, I had this idea when I was 17, and then I kept it in my mind and things, and we spent our life building a good company and being very successful and spending money wisely, saving money wisely. And then in the recession, the Great Recession, we were a Las Vegas residential contractor, and from 2009, my business pretty much evaporated, and so we closed it down. And I suffered with depression, you know, 36 years, it was my business, you know, and my brother and I, and her name on the door, and name on the trucks, and it was all gone. And about a year later, my wife and I were talking, and I said, you know, that sucks what happened, but this might be our opportunity to do a real trip. And so I was the one that told my wife, I said, let's do 50 states in 50 days. We'll just go out and we'll ride a motorcycle around the country in 50 days. And she goes, that's crazy. Let's do 50 states in 50 weeks. And I went, that's crazy. So, but we kept thinking about it and going, you know, I think we could do it. And so we planned. It took us about 2 years to plan it. And we still have a lot of things going on with businesses and things. And so you've got a lot of logistic things to plan and what to do with your house and so many things. And we got it all figured out. We scheduled it. We scheduled a big party for when we left. And we went and we did it. It was amazing. And it had its moments, but it was so worth it. And the idea, Judy, to me of delayed gratification is it's almost like a savings account. You get it with interest. Because if I'd have gone on that trip when I was 17, it would have been two teenage kids riding around, and we would not have succeeded. We'd have been lucky to see two or three states, and bikes would have blown up or broke down, and we'd be stuck somewhere. And because of the delay, we got to plan a much bigger and much better trip and do it in an organized fashion instead of this easy rider. You just take off, you know. Well, we did it well, and so like we scheduled it and arranged it so that we would maximize our weather, so that we were in the north in the summer and the south in the winter, and so we didn't get into a whole lot of issues with weather. So it was much more rewarding with the delay. And I think in America, we see results in 30-second commercials. You know, you got a problem and it's solved. And we want it right away. And I think a lot of people that read the things that you and I write and go to motivational seminars and stuff, they understand what you're saying, but they sort of want it now. They see it through this prism of, I want to be rich, I want to be successful, and they don't see that it takes day after day of hard work and diligence and perseverance, and that it does pay off, you know, but it's just not, and once in a while you see these articles or something where some guy starts a website and he's a billionaire immediately. It's ridiculous. You know, I mean, sometimes it happens, but most of it, it's a step at a time, and you work and work and work at it, and you don't even realize it before, after a few years or decades even, you go, wow, this is pretty cool. So,
I like the idea that you had this dream and you wanted to do it and life happened, but you held on to that dream and then you did it and it came true. I think that is so awesome.
Yeah, because it really felt like in 2009 it was a death of a dream. I mean, your business is gone and you get discouraged and you think, what's the use? And yet when you shake that off, you know, and you go, okay, this isn't as bad as it seems, and what can we do about it, you know, and so, and you go do something that's fun and kind of crazy. It's way beyond what normal people do, you know. Just people ride motorcycles for the weekend or for a week or for a couple of weeks, but to go out for a year, it's just really out there. And so it was, and especially for my wife, because she's a quilter. She's not a biker chick, you know. so she really enjoyed it too. I mean, it was just an amazing trip. So, what a blessing.
Well, I mean, it seems almost unbelievable that someone would live on a motorcycle for a year like you guys did. But I'm going to ask you the question that I don't think anybody's brave enough to ask. How much does it cost to live a whole year and travel on a motorcycle like that?
Right. We budgeted it, and it ended up costing us about $42,000.
Oh, my goodness.
And it seems like a lot of money, but, you know, most people live on more than that a year. But yeah, you also don't earn any that year. And so what we had done is we had invested in real estate, and we had rental homes and commercial real estate that helped us. And then we rented our house out while we were gone.
Ah.
And those things helped fund our trip. So it took some planning.
But
it wasn't just something you just get on your bike and ride, you know.
But like you said, if you had done that when you were 17, 18 years old, you wouldn't have had $42,000 to make a trip like that.
No, we would have had $1,000. So it would have been a disaster.
You'd have been coming home pretty soon.
Yeah,
let me ask you
Go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, just that, you know, and that is the result of saving and saving and saving and saving. And so you have to put that money aside and leave it there, you know, so you can do that. When things were good, a lot of my friends drove a lot nicer trucks than I had a lot nicer houses than I had, you know, and but they didn't get that trip. So, and that's okay for them, but it's what you want, you know.
But you were planning this for a long time, huh?
Right, yeah. It took about 2 years just because, you know, you can't just lock up the house and go. So. And then there's costs for a trip like this that don't, they're intangible. Like, while we were gone, my daughter gave birth to twins. Life goes on. And so we had to stop the trip when we were in Newark, Jersey, and fly to San Diego to see the twins. We didn't want to miss that, you know. So
yeah.
So there are some things that come and that happen, and life still goes on, and you need to adjust for it.
And you were in New Jersey, so what did you do with the motorcycle when you flew back?
Well, that's an interesting story, Judy, because it happened in November, and we left, and what we did is we were at a cheap motel. In fact, it was us and drug dealers and stuff. We did it just cheap motels. We didn't care. But then when we told them what we were doing, we were going to come back in a week. They said, just park the bike in the parking lot. Give us a key, and if there's any problem, we'll move the bike. Okay, so, and they charged us off, you know, $5 a day or so. We flew to San Diego, and while we were there, we were watching the news, and we watched Hurricane Sandy slam into Newark, New Jersey, where our motorcycle was. And so it's like, wow, I hope the bike's okay. And
yeah.
So the day we're supposed to come back was the day the hurricane hit, so we were delayed a week. Well, we were delayed like 4 days, and then we were delayed another day. And finally, we got back on a Friday. The flight was delayed, so we got in at 10:30 Friday night, and we couldn't get a shuttle. We took a cab through Newark, New Jersey, and it looked like a war zone. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that, but it feels like something could snap, where there's going to be a riot. There was hundreds of people in lines of gas, and there's power lines down, and there's police presence everywhere. You're going, what is going on? And we went to the motel, and the power was out, and it was vacant. And
that's amazing.
What I call the providence of God was we found this Econo Lodge, just a cheap motel. And it was a two-story quadrangle kind of a motel, and our bike was inside, surrounded on all four sides by two-story buildings. And parts of the roof were gone, and where we parked the bike right underneath one of those metal stairways, the roof of the stairway was gone, and the bike and the trailer were just fine.
Wow, weren't you lucky?
Yeah, weren't I really thought lucky? God watched out for us on that one. And then the other thing that happened that was kind of providential, I felt, was when we were going into town before we left, we hit a big rainstorm, and so we pulled into a gas station, and in New Jersey they're attended. And so my wife felt guilty, you know, sitting in their gas station and not finding any gas, and she said, why don't we just hop off the bike? And it had half a tank of fuel. It was like, well, okay, let's top it off. So topped it off. Well, when we left, by the time we left at midnight on Friday night after Hurricane Sandy, we had to ride an hour and a half out of town just to find a motel to stay. And
oh, my goodness.
if we hadn't got that full tank of fuel, we'd have spent probably 4 or 5 hours in a gas line waiting for fuel. So,
amazing.
Yeah, it's always the providence of God, you know.
Listeners, this is Judy Mario, and this is Choices. And we thank you so much for being with us today. We are talking with Kevin Parsons. Kevin is a wonderful writer and photographer, and he recently made a trip in 50 states in 50 weeks across the United States. He and his wife did this on a motorcycle. It was absolutely wonderful. And Kevin is one of the writers for our Choices magazine. And what I'd like you to do is go over to choicesonlinemedia.com and pull up the magazine. It is a free magazine, and you can get the magazine as of today. The brand new issue is out, the fall issue. And also, you can pull up the previous issues of Choices Magazine. And while you're over there, go on over to judymario.com and sign up for our free newsletter. If you will sign up for the free newsletter, you'll get that every month, and you'll also receive an audio download of my recording, Realize Who You Are, as well as the monthly newsletter. So this will give you tips and techniques on how to continue to build a better tomorrow and to make better choices. So thank you for joining us today. And listeners, let's go back and talk some more with Kevin, because his trip is so amazing. He's talking about delayed gratification. If he had done this when he was 17 years old, he wouldn't have had near the success or the pleasure that he had. So, Kevin, thank you for being with us. And tell me, what were the best parts of the trip?
Alaska was really beautiful. We planned it so I'd be up there in June. The way the schedule was, we needed to be in Alaska in June, and we needed to be in Maine in September. And so, but the beauty there overwhelmed me. I went from Glen Allen to Valdez. You're riding along in a rather high elevation, and you can walk to a glacier, which is really beautiful. And then in a matter of 25 miles, you're down on the water in Valdez, the greenest water you've ever seen. But between, it's like Jurassic Park. The green hills are covered with, covered with trees, and with 300-foot waterfalls coming down. I just wasn't ready. I think my expectations were much lower for Alaska. I don't know, it's a big wilderness.
Ah, yeah,
really, yeah.
I would have no idea they had waterfalls like that.
Oh, it's just amazing, yeah. Gorgeous.
And I would imagine your photographer's eye, that was really something. I bet you got great pictures of that, didn't you?
I did, except it's funny, the best part, they say in Alaska there's two seasons, winter and construction. and the best part was we were in a line, and you had to follow the pilot car through because it was under construction, and I couldn't stop to take any pictures. It was like,
And what was the worst part of the trip? We've talked about the best part. What was the worst part?
It's fun. It's funny because I talk about how expensive it is, and one of the costs is another intangible. And Thanksgiving was really tough. We were in West Virginia. Thanksgiving, a rainy day. Crummy little motel. We had this top tent trailer, but when the weather was bad, we would stay in a motel. And so for Thanksgiving, we had a choice of McDonald's or IHOP. And so, and the family's all, we called on the phone and stuff. It was very isolated and discouraging, that you're out there all by yourself. And even though it's part of the trip, you knew it was coming, but it was difficult. So
what did you eat?
That is one of the costs of the trip.
Yeah, what did you eat there at either McDonald's or IHOP?
Oh, we chose IHOP.
But did you have waffles for Thanksgiving?
this was a great Thanksgiving dinner,
Well, what other kind of costs are in two... are incurred when you do a trip like this? I mean, we think in terms of the hotel and the food and the gasoline and that sort of thing, but is there other things involved?
Yeah, we budget it, which is another thing that's smart to do instead of just taking off. And so there's 10 places along the line where I had to stop and change oil on the bike, get a service. So we stopped at bike shop to get that done, and I went through about 4 sets of tires on either the bike or the trailer. You know, and then we had other things at home that occurred. We had business things that were still taking place, our rental properties. So a lot of times, I can remember we were in Winthrop, Washington, and we just pulled in, and it was a cloudburst, and we stopped at a motel. And unloading everything, and I knew I had to get inside. I had to work on the blog. My wife had to work on paying bills and things. And so we brought in our office box, which is a little plastic box full of all our checkbooks and things. And when I walked into the motel, I looked down, and everyone, the clubbers are cleared, and people are sitting in lawn chairs, and they're playing frisbee and things. And I went, man, I would like to sit there. And you can't. You got stuff to do. And that's part of the cost of the lifestyle that I live. You know, I could have gone and not vlogged every day, and well, we had to pay the bills, that's for sure. So there are things that happen that are a cost. There's a cost to your family. You're not working for a year. So.
Yeah. And did you have any scary moments, or did anything go wrong while you were out there? I mean,
We blew it in Colorado. We were in Montrose, Colorado, and we were checking out of the campground. Beautiful day, 70 degrees. It was supposed to be 70 degrees. It had been 70 degrees. It was supposed to be 70 degrees. And checked out, and the clerk there said, so where are you headed? To Denver. Oh, I heard it's supposed to snow in Denver today. And you go, well, it's 70 degrees. And we went and we took off. We headed for Denver, stopped for gas at one place, and went in to pay because you couldn't pay at the pump. And where are you headed? Denver. Oh, I heard it's supposed to snow in Denver. Twice, Judy, twice we were told. So we kept going because, well, we had reservations at a campground. We had to get there. So God forbid you would cancel a reservation. So we got to Leadville, and it was raining, which is a 10,000-foot elevation, and so I thought we were safe because we were going downhill, you know, and we took off in the rain. We had heated suits, so we were okay as far as riding, but the rain turned to snow, and the snow stuck to the highway, and there's nothing worse combination than a motorcycle and a trailer in the snow, and we were on I-70, and we crashed. We went down. And the bike, we were on the outside lane, and the bike went backwards and slid across the inside lane and hit the Jersey wall.
You weren't hurt, were you?
No, I've crashed on motorcycles a lot of times from racing dirt bikes and such, but this one was really scary because we're in traffic. And then I could feel the fear in my wife on the back.
Yeah.
I've never been in an experience like this, and I really felt like I had let her down, you know, that I jeopardized her safety. When we were dating, I can remember her father saying, if some guy shows up on a motorcycle to date my daughter, he could just ride around. And here we are on the side of the freeway. I'm like, oh my gosh, what have we done?
Kevin, we're coming close to the end of our time, but I have two more questions I want to ask you quickly.
Okay.
One is, would you do it again?
In a heartbeat. I'm just pretty mental. I would have stopped in Las Vegas. We had a party at the end, and I would have taken right back off. But my wife, she wouldn't have no regrets, but she wouldn't do a trip like that again. It's just too long.
Yeah, but she loved it.
She's happy. She's happy to do it. Yeah, I loved it, but not again. And she'll go on trips again. We'll do a release or something, but not a whole year.
Yeah, I was really surprised when I talked with her at the end of your trip, and she had a little sewing machine with her, and she was actually working on the quilts out there, wasn't she, on that trip?
Yeah, and that's the other thing about marriage and relationships is there's times that you negotiate and compromise, and she was willing to go on the trip, which was a huge thing, but she wasn't going without Ethel. That was the name of her little featherweight team. And so it was like, if Ethel doesn't go, I'm not going. So she did. We stopped at fabric stores all over the country. She bought fabric. She would sew the tops together and then mail them back home. And she got 6 quilt tops done while we were out there.
Oh, my goodness. Did she really? That's incredible.
Yeah, she sewed on picnic tables and hotel rooms and in lodges and all over the place, all over the country. It's amazing. So she's got a 50-state quilt that she's assembling now as we speak. And it's there's two squares of every state in it with a big American eagle in the middle of it. So she's working on that.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great memory for us.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so. And my last question for you is, what would you like to say to our listeners?
I'd just like to reiterate how wonderful delayed gratification is and how sweet it is to save and dream and plan. And finally, to achieve a goal that was much more than the original goal. My original goal was to tour the country. It wasn't. Through the entire country. And so
yes. That
was what a wonderful thing. And so sometimes delayed gratification comes with interest. And then another thing on the contrary of that is don't wait till it's too late. When I was on this trip, two of my friends that were my age passed away. And it was such an underscore for me. It's like, man, I'm glad we did this because, you know, you wait a couple of years and you're too old, and so you gotta take a risk and do it sometimes.
Yeah. Well, listeners, I know that you absolutely love this idea, listening to Kevin today as he talked about this wonderful adventure he was on. And Kevin, how can people follow you?
Well, I'm on Facebook, Kevin B. Parsons, and I've got a blog, and it's kevinbparsons.blogspot.com. And so I blog there twice a week, and I'm on LinkedIn as well, so there's plenty of places to find me. And most of my stuff on the blog is some of the motorcycle things, but a lot of it's travel, and then there's motivational things. I have the Motivational Minute once a month, and I have the monthly rave, but I also have the monthly rant where I about something. You wouldn't
want to get you. Well, we sure do appreciate you being with us today. A big, big, big thank you to you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me on the show, Judy, and stay wonderful, okay?
Oh, you're welcome. I'll talk to you soon. And listeners, thank you for joining me today. If you would like to contact me or ask me a question or find out more about Kevin or Choices Magazine, please just send me an email to Judy, that's J-U-D-I, at judymorio.com. Judy, J-U-D-I, at J-U-D-I-M-O-R-E-O.com. Or go to my website, judymorio.com, and sign up for my free newsletter. And you'll also receive that audio download of my recording, Realize Who You Are, as well as the monthly newsletter, which is going to give you tips and techniques for building a better tomorrow. And once again, Kevin, thank you so much. And thank you, listeners. We'll talk to you soon. And always remember, you are more than enough.
Thanks, Judy.